So let's come to the next talk, which is mine. And the title of this talk, I like it very much. It's about implementing Star TLS. And I like the title very much because it's a bit ambiguous. Because on one hand, if who was last year here also at the Modern Email Dev Room? Oh, okay, I will try. Okay, so last year I invited a colleague from mine and asked him if he can do a talk on Star TLS and tell the audience how bad it is. And this year it's kind of funny that I did a talk to tell you how to implement it, but there is a catch. And to wake myself up a bit, who knows what Star TLS is? Can they raise the hand? Okay. Now can you keep the hand up, and everyone who doesn't implement it, put the hand down. So only the ones who implemented it, keep it up. Okay, and from this person, like, who thought they like it or want it, and or did you feel that you needed to implement it? Like, if so, only keep your hand up if you felt like it's a great protocol. I will. Okay, one. Okay, no, I mean, if you are required to do it, then it doesn't count. So only if you think it's a good thing to do. And okay. Yes. XMPP talking, okay, maybe, or something else, yes. Yes, I will come to that, yes. So, okay, so, and from those people who implemented it, you can come to me after the talk and tell me if you did like I tell you to do, or what I propose, not tell, but I have a proposal, so you can tell me if you like it or if you did it differently. So the catch is, I want to avoid most of Star TLS, not fully, because there are some providers like Microsoft, for example, and for submission they only have Star TLS. So you, yeah, but you have to do it. So there will come a time in your life that some user of your library is asking you desperately to support Star TLS, and you can ask, like, why do you need it? Do you really need it? Ask your provider, please, to do something better. But in the end, it's a fight that you may lose, because some people are just bigger than you, and then you are in a position that you need to implement it. So let's try to do it. But a short recap, like, when we think about Star TLS, when we look into the standards, it looks super simple, right? So I will do it with IMAP, because this is the protocol where it's, in general, most complicated to do, so I will use this. But when you connect to an IMAP server, the first thing that happens is that the server sends you its greeting. And in this case, the server is very nice to you, and it tells you, I can do Star TLS, and please don't log in, because this would reveal your password in the clear text to the internet. So at this point already, you know that Star TLS is supported. So you send the Star TLS command, and the server says, I'm fine with that. And then both, this sounds really scary. And then both can do the TLS handshake. So client hello, server hello, key exchanges, finished message. And then we continue just as normal with the normal protocol, but encrypted now. So it's bold on the bottom. So this means it's encrypted. Okay. So this is the happy path. We have a plain text phase that is bad. And we have a TLS phase that is good, because authenticated, encrypted, this is the good stuff. Then comes the little bit more realistic path, which is that not every server is nice to you or implements Star TLS or capabilities as you like it. So maybe you don't know just by looking at the greeting, so you need to ask for it. So if you want to implement Star TLS in a really defensive way, like to not issue the command if you're not allowed to, then you first have to ask for the capabilities, and then you get the capabilities, then you check the capabilities, and then you do the command. But some servers also do something like this. I saw this in the real world. They send you the greeting, and then the next message tells you the capabilities. So maybe if you want to be more performant, you also have to look if you see the second message already. But what happens here now is that you already expose quite a bit of the IMAP passing logic already to this. Like, you have, if you think from code surface, only these two messages, greeting and the response, expose almost your full parsing logic to the server at this point already. This will become important. And the sad path is that you should forget about anything of this, because this is non-authenticated, not authenticated code. This means you don't know if you are talking with an attacker. So the attacker can just strip these things to tell you the server doesn't do Star TLS, and in the worst case, you will continue with plain text, which is its normal Star TLS stripping attack. It can say in the last message, oh, well, no, I cannot do it. It can even here tell you, oh, well, you have gazillions of new messages. It can tell you here there was a new folder created. So you might think about what clients would process this, but it's really not obvious that you should not do it. So for example, here was a case in Thunderbird that you can just create messages like folders really before start TLS in a completely different state. You can send alerts already. There are some very helpful clients like Outlook. They will show it to you and saying it's with really high importance. So you can imagine if you just send as an attacker an alert message that says you should do an Outlook update, you will get this message, and maybe it's very convincing to do it. And then there can be a situation like this here, which is kind of now it gets really confusing, like what should this mean? Like, is this now TLS data or not? What should I do with it? So things come here that are not really clear. And we did a paper on it a few years ago, and the black circles are bad. So and as you can see from, like, I think it was almost 30 clients that we tested, in all of them but two, it's bad that Catty is not here, the K9 Thunderbird guy, because this was almost the only client that had no issues. So there were, from 30 clients, only two had no start TLS issues. So, and you can see, so it's really a systemic problem. But you can look up the details in this paper. Okay, so now my line of thought was, the data before TLS cannot be trusted. This means the data before TLS needs to be ignored to avoid these attacks that I showed to you. Which means the data before TLS maybe, if we take this seriously, doesn't have to be parsed at all, because why are we already exposing our parsers to untrusted data? Which means, for me, start TLS is basically just a prefix that I want to skip as fast as possible to get to this good TLS encrypted phase. Doesn't matter how, just skip it in a good way. So the idea is now, let's consider we are only implementing plain text, like no encryption at all. We do some TCP connection. This is like Rust pseudocode. We do a TCP connection, and then we move this connection to some client that then does IMAP. This works. If this would be an implicit TLS connection, which means like directly doing TLS on port 993, for example, then we have an extra step. We first do TCP, then we shovel the TCP stream wrapper, and then we shovel the TLS wrapper into our client, which is not aware that TLS was even used. So this one extra line. And what I want to propose is that for start TLS, we also have just one extra line, which is this do start TLS prefix. So we connect on 143, which is the start TLS port, the plaintext port. Then we do prefix code, just one function, no context, no status, nothing, just one function. And then we continue as if it would have been a secure connection, like just give it to the TLS layer. And now we can discuss how this start TLS prefix function can look like with as little code as possible. We first need to skip the greeting. And the good thing about command, and as you may notice, we don't care what the server sent us because we don't trust the server anyway. We just send the start TLS command. And then, okay, so this is the start TLS. And then you may wonder, I said first comes the greeting and then comes start TLS, and you may notice we have these three gibberish lines in there. So what happened with that? I think you should think about IMAP as having two separate connections. You have the client stream and the server stream, and you need to sort them, and they should still make sense. So how you should think about this really is that we read the greeting, then we let the rest be as it is. So the state that we are in is actually that we then can send the start TLS command. And now we can try to care what happens with the rest of the data. And the task for us is now to just try to skip it as fast as we can, or as easily as we can. And we can do it easily because we can just, when we look here, we have it in our hand what the tag was for our start TLS command, and we used the S tag. So what we can do is just we read lines, as many lines as we need, and when one line starts with S and white space, this is the end of the start TLS command. So this is the code that we could use for that. Okay, so basically this skips all this block. And then comes this trailing data thing. In our paper, we called it a buffering class of attacks. You can do command injections and response injections with it. But this trailing data, I would propose just forget it. If we do nothing about it, it will be interpreted as TLS data, and the TLS handshake will crash. Let us just crash the TLS handshake. There's no problem in doing so. So we ignore it and just doesn't handle this case. And why does it work? So this works because we just proceeded with the connection to a point where TLS would be made. So this is the second line. And if this is the point, we can just assume that we have a fresh implicit TLS connection and just proceed as we did before. So this is the point. There's one caveat, though, because if we look on the differences of a star TLS connection and an implicit TLS connection, what you will notice in the star TLS case, the server sends us the